Yes. How many of you are going to preach with me? Hallelujah. I want this side to say hallelujah. This side say praise the Lord.
Praise.
Amen.
Amen.
That's it.
Thank you.
Glory.
Glory.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Keep on preaching.
Keep on preaching.
And if y'all don't do that while I'm preaching, I know there's something wrong, because you can do it. You don't do it while I'm a preaching tonight. Well, amen, hallelujah. Brother Castile's good to see you. Amen. He was in a revival when we was in Monticello. Now he's in Pambla. Well, praise the Lord. It's good to see them here tonight. Good to see everybody. And everybody say we're good. Glad to see you, Brother Hodge. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I love to come to Pambla. To this church. I've learned to love and appreciate your pastor and this church. And I believe this week is going to be a great, glorious, powerful, spirit-filled, Holy Ghost-anointed revival. Amen. We just got it announced for this week. There's no telling. Brother Rutledge always kids me. In fact, he told off on me just last night, I believe it was. He said, everywhere I go, I usually stay for 12 weeks. That's 3 months. Well, I like y'all so much, I may just do that. Amen. Hey, if y'all can put up with me, maybe I can put up with y'all. Amen. I don't know what God's going to do, but I believe God's going to do something. Amen. How many of you are going to pray this week? Are you really going to pray? Are you going to talk to God? I wonder how many of you will lift your hands to say, Brother Hodge, I'll pray at least an hour a day this week for this revival. Come on, would you slip your hand up? At least an hour a day, I'll pray. Thank God, thank God. How many of you fast at least one day this week for this revival? Amen. Everybody in the spirit, you've got the Holy Ghost, you ought to do it. Amen. I said you ought to do it. Amen. And not only do you have to, you get to. You know, a lot of people look at us Pentecost and say, you folks preach, you got to talk in tongues. You got to get the Holy Ghost. You got to shout. I don't do that. I preach, you get to talk in tongues. You get to shout. You get to run the out. You get to worship God. Oh, what a privilege it is to get to love the Lord. Hallelujah. Woo. Praise God. Amen. I better hurry up and get into my third sermon for tonight. Hallelujah. I'm turning to the book of Hebrews. A great chapter. The 11th chapter. Hallelujah. I may preach all week long from this one chapter. Amen. There's a lot in it. Praise God. Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Starting with the 24th verse. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. I want to preach to you for just a few moments from the subject that's found in the 27th verse. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Now listen. For he endured. You can endure if you want to. And there is a way for you to live for God. And there is a way for you to overcome. And I'm going to try to deliver my soul to you tonight and to try some way and somehow to show you that way. He endured. How? As seeing him who is invisible. My subject tonight is simply seeing him who is invisible. Would you say it with me? Seeing him who is invisible. Say it again. Seeing him who is invisible. Brother Rutledge, would you pray?
Dear Heavenly Father, again we reach out for your completeness in our lives.
Hallelujah.
Lord, anything that's like it in the life of anyone.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Help us, Lord, to be in your presence, truth.
Thank you, Jesus.
Multitude of doubt, fear, pride, and all the things that are holding us back.
Yes.
We ask your blessings in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank God. Let's lift our hands and love him one more time. Hallelujah. Thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God. Praise the Lord. Everybody say in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
And you may be seated.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank God. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Sing him who is invisible. Now, when I gave you my subject tonight, no doubt you thought within yourself, Brother Hodge, how can such a thing be? Whenever you speak of something that is invisible, that means that it's something that you cannot see. When I speak of the Spirit of God and I say that is as the wind, it bloweth, you do not see it, but you can feel it. We cannot see it. You say, Brother Hodge, how can we see him who is invisible? When you say something is invisible, how can you see that? Now, when I speak of seeing him who is invisible, I speak of looking not through just the natural eye, but I speak of looking through the eyes of faith. When you look through the eyes of faith, you can see a whole lot more than what you can see through the natural eye. Now, this week, if we come to church and we come only looking through the natural eye, it will be easy, no doubt, for some of you to get discouraged. Now, you may talk to somebody tomorrow and ask them to come to church. And if you walk through the door and you do not see them there with a natural eye, then it's very easy, if you're not careful, to become discouraged and say, well, I asked them to come and they didn't come.
Yes.
But what we need to do this week is to walk through the doors through the eyes of faith and see everybody that we ask sitting on these pews. And not just look at the empty pews, and I pray there won't be any this week.
Right.
It's not the will of God for his house to be empty.
Right.
Amen. But if there is and we come in, Lord, don't let us look through just the natural eye and with doubt in our hearts say, well, we might as well throw up our hands and quit. But if you come looking through the eyes of faith, you can believe God for anything. But the Bible said we walk not by sight, but we walk by faith. Now feel tonight, and those of you that have already raised your hands and have already admitted that you have come tonight with a very special need of a touch of the Spirit of God in your life. As I came into this auditorium today to ask God to somehow speak to our heart, and ask God, what is his will for this service? Somehow I cannot help but feel that there would be those that would walk inside of these four walls tonight that would stand here with needs in your life that nobody but God can supply. And you know who you are, and you know what you have been going through for maybe the past months or even the past few days. But I believe as I prayed and felt the Holy Ghost, I felt as I stood on this platform tonight that God wants to do something to you in this service tonight and supply the need that is in your life even in this service. I believe that if somehow we can do as Moses did, if we can only see him who is invisible, every need will be supplied in this service tonight, and every problem will not be as great as you think they are. I come tonight not asking you to see Brother Hodge. You would be all right with me if you were to just close your eyes and not even see what kind of tie I have on, not even see what kind of suit I'm wearing. Be all right with me if you don't even see how my hair is combed. Don't look at me tonight. I am not asking you to look at my wife. I am not asking you to look at Brother Rutledge. I am not asking you to just look at the material things around here tonight. But somehow, if I can only get you to look past everything and get a glimpse of Him who is invisible, every need that you have tonight will be supplied before you leave this service. If somehow you can just see Him who is invisible, I do not come to lift up the heart. I do not come to preach this week to see how well that I can preach. I do not come to see how well that I will go over, as the old saying is, to see how well you can go over there. I do not come to see just how many friends that I can help. But I have come, and every night I have come, and I will come to lift up only one, and that's my Jesus Christ. I'm going to lift up Him. Because I realize if you can see Him, every need is going to be supplied. I feel that your problems will not seem as great as maybe the devil has magnified them to be, even in this service tonight. Did you know the devil has his ways of magnifying things and making them look bigger than what they really are? But the Bible said that Moses, by faith, forsook Egypt, not feeling the wrath of the king. I feel that there's one spirit that's loose in this world tonight that we better beware of. And I have warned against this spirit many places and many times. And it's a very dangerous spirit, and that is a spirit of fear. And I've seen this spirit get a hold of a lot of people. Not only those outside the church, but I have seen this spirit get a hold of people that claim to have the Holy Ghost. And if you're not careful, that spirit will get a hold of you. Spirit of fear. I'm afraid to not dose. That's not right. I'm afraid to testify. I'm afraid to shout because of what somebody's going to say about me. I'm afraid to talk in tongues. I'm afraid to worship God if nobody else is worshiping God. But if somehow we can kill that spirit of fear in our lives, there is nothing that would keep us from reaching that place in God that we need to reach tonight. We should beware against the spirit of fear that will get a hold of you. A spirit. Some time ago, a young man talked to me. In fact, he's my cousin. I married my cousin. He came to me some time ago in a service when God really blessed him. And I knew that night that Wayne had received something from God and that he needed. Wayne came to me and he said, Brother Hodge, he said, I'll be riding down the road by myself. Not at night, but just during the daytime. So all of a sudden, something would come over me. And its fear would grip my heart. And I would just start trembling. I was afraid. And he said the devil would blow this up to me. And all I could see was myself backsliding. And all I could see was things that the devil would bring to my heart and my mind that would make me fear. But he said, thank God tonight I got a hold of him. And thank God I don't fear anymore. I'm going to meet the devil head on tomorrow and say, thank God, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world.
Hallelujah.
This spirit is trying to get a hold of everybody. If you're not careful, it'll get a hold of you.
Amen.
Afraid of what God has promised us. Afraid of an end time revival. Afraid of a move of God. Afraid of the gifts of the Spirit. Afraid of the operation of the Holy Ghost. Oh Lord, take the fear away and let's have the move of God that God wants to give us. Moses, fear not. And the Bible said he endured. Before you're going to endure to the end, you cannot endure with fear in your heart. A lot of people say, I just don't understand why I get so discouraged. I can't understand why, but I can't endure. It's one reason, because there's too much fear there. You find some people, all they talk about is backsliding.
That's the truth.
So I'm afraid I'm going to backslide. Sure, we ought to beware of the devil. And sure, the Bible said, take heed lest you fall when you think you stand. Don't ever get to the place that you think you're so holy, holy that nothing can touch you.
That's right.
I want you to know we don't need to walk around with our head down with fear in our heart. Oh, Lord, I'm going to backslide. Oh, Lord, and walk around trembling and scared to death. You ought to be walking around with joy in your heart. I'm glad for the child of God. Amen. You didn't bring me a full glass of water, so that means something.
No.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
You cannot endure to the end. The Bible said, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. How many of you want to endure to the end?
Hallelujah.
It's not the first mile that's so important, but it's the last mile when day is come, when we see Jesus.
Amen.
Thank God I've had the Holy Ghost for 13 years now, but that don't mean that I'll never fall. Paul himself said, I bring myself under subjection, lest by any means I myself, after I preach to others, become a castaway. Oh, Lord, help us to get rid of fear. We need to endure to the end, and we'll never do it until we get rid of fear.
Right.
Everybody say fear.
Fear.
Say fear must die.
Fear must die.
It must die. Well, let's look at Moses for a while. How did Moses endure? Why did he not have fear in his life? Well, we find Moses, and Brother Price preached on Moses today, and I guess I can just go ahead and preach on him again.
Yeah.
Moses, there he was on the backside of the old desert. He began to get his eyes on himself. Made his way over to the burning bush. And all of a sudden, the voice spoke to him and said, I want you to lead my children out of the land of bondage.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Moses began to look at himself and he said, now God, I can't do that. If I go down to the land of Egypt and go to the children of Israel, they say, who do you think you are? You're some madman. You've been living in the desert too long and your mind's all messed up. Who do you think you are to come lead us out into a place that you don't even hardly know of? Who are you to come? Moses began to think of an excuse. He said, God, they won't listen to me. If I go, who should I tell them that sent me? And God said, tell them that I am has sent me.
Amen.
You know what happened? After he found out that was God speaking to him, he still had a little fear.
Yeah.
And he said, Lord, I just can't go. They won't listen to me. And who am I to go over there and talk to Pharaoh? All of a sudden, God spoke to him again, said, throw your rod down, Moses. Moses threw it down on the ground. You know the story. It turned into a serpent. And he picked it up again. It turned back into a rod. And after this, he still had fear in his heart and said, I can't go. God said, put your hand into your bosom. He did. And brought it out. It was leprous as white as snow. He put it back in. He brought it out. It was made whole. And after all of this, he still said, Lord, I can't go. What was God trying to do to Moses? God was trying to get Moses' eyes off of himself and get his eyes on him who was invisible. As long as you keep your eyes on yourself and your ability and what you can do and what you can't do, you'll never be a successful child of God. The very moment you look beside yourself and look at him who is invisible, who has made your body, you can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. After all of this, Moses said, I can't go. You know what his excuse was? This is so many people's excuse when it comes to knocking doors and soul winning. But God's got an answer for that. Hallelujah. Moses said, I'm not eloquent. I'm slow of speech and of a slow tongue. I can't talk right, Lord. And who am I to walk before the king and talk to him?
I see.
I wish to goodness we'd get a chance to go before the mayor of this city. I'd talk to him. Amen. And I don't have a lot of money. And I don't drive a Cadillac. But I'd talk to him. because I've got an experience I want to tell him about. Amen. Well, I can't go, Lord. I'm slow of speech. I have a slow tongue. You know what God told him? He said, Moses, he needs your mouth.
Hallelujah.
He needs your tongue.
That's it.
Hallelujah. Then he began to answer before Moses even had a chance to answer. He said, I, the Lord, hath made thy mouth. And he went on to say that I, the Lord, will be with your mouth. Hallelujah. You look at yourself and you may not have an eloquent speech, but you've got the Holy Ghost and that's what you need. Lord said, I made your mouth and I'll go with you and I'll be with you. Somehow we can only look beside ourselves and pass our ability and look into the eyes of him who said, I'll go with you even to the end of the world. Hallelujah. God was teaching Moses a lesson that I pray that we'll see tonight.
Yes.
Made his way into the land of Egypt. There were the many plagues that I will not go through tonight. There were the plagues that came to the land of Egypt, and all it was for, no doubt, was to show Moses, not only Moses, but the children of God, to get their eyes off of themselves and get their eyes on him.
Yeah, yeah.
After all the plagues and after Pharaoh said, all right, you can go, they made their way out to the old Red Sea. And I know this is an old story, but let's look at it again, all right? Every time I read in the Word of God, it always lives new to me again. Amen. Made their way out to the Red Sea and they looked around. There was no way to escape when they saw Pharaoh and his army coming behind them. They saw the swords flashing in the sunlight. They heard the sound of the horses and the chariots. They heard the screams and the cries of Pharaoh and his army. And that's all they had their mind on. That's all they could see was the swords. All they could see was the chariots. All they could hear were the cries of their army.
What?
They looked at Moses and said, why didn't you leave us in the land of Egypt?
Yes.
I mean, at least we were alive there. You bring us out here to die. Why didn't you just lead us there? All they could see was their heads rolling down on the ground. All they could see was their children being killed. And all they could see was them being slain by the Red Sea. No, there was one man that looked past all of that.
Oh,
Moses stood up and these were his words. He said, fear not. Here he was just a few months before then fearing to go to Egypt.
Yeah.
Here he was just a few days before then said, I can't go, Lord, with fear in his heart. But God made a believer out of Moses. He said, fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. Of the Egyptians whom ye have seen today. Some of you, all you've seen in this service is your problems and your trials and your valleys and your difficulties. That's all you can see when you come to church and try to worship God. The devil magnifies all these things and say, look what you've got to face tomorrow. Look what this is on your shoulder. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The Egyptians whom you see today, ye shall see them again no more. However, why? Because the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Hallelujah. There they were, trembling and shaken and scared, slapped to death. Amen. All they could see was Pharaoh's army. But Moses said, they don't look anything compared to him that is invisible. For somehow I believe that Moses looked up and saw a heavenly host of angels. Hallelujah. Oh yes, if somehow you can only see what's around you tonight. Was not it the man of God Elijah? Or Elisha and his servant surrounded by the enemy? Servant got afraid. Prophet looked and began to pray and said, oh God, open his eyes that he can see. And when his eyes were open, what did he see? Oh, he saw a heavenly host. Hallelujah. That was all around. Somehow you can just look through the eyes of faith tonight. There's angelic beings that are around here with you and me. Hallelujah. Somehow with a rutledge, I feel in all of my heart that there's angels here with all power needs.
My God.
be here before I knew you'd be here. He knew you'd be here before the witness knew you would be here. And he poked that angel and said, here, take this to so-and-so. Take this to so-and-so. If somehow they can just see you. And if somehow you can look past those problems and those trials and those things that you've been going through for days now. And if you can only see that angel that has come to encourage you and to lift you up and to supply your need in this service. He's here. All you got to do is see him. Moses said, fear not, but let's just see him who is invisible.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The devil has blown himself up to some of you in this service. I'm not preaching to just these four walls tonight. I know and I feel that I'm preaching to somebody, and I feel it tonight. Not only just somebody, but I'm preaching to some people in this building tonight that you need what God has sent to you in this service. If somehow you can see him that is invisible, there is nothing that you can have tonight. But you got to see him.
Hallelujah.
Before you're going to endure, before you can get rid of fear, you got to see him. And when you see him in all his beauty and all his glory and all his power and all his greatness, what do you have to worry about tonight?
Hallelujah.
God spoke to Abraham. Said, Abraham, I want you to leave the country that you're in now. I want you to look for a land I have prepared for you. Well, Lord, which way I go? Well, that's all right. You just get everything prepared, and I'll lead you where you ought to go.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Lord, help us to learn to be led by the Holy Ghost. Okay, Lord. So, before he left, God spoke to him again. Said, Abraham, now, I know for a long time the desire that's in every father has been in you. You've always desired to have a boy that would follow in your footsteps, that you could call a lathe, and he could follow up in your footsteps and carry on the family name. But Abraham, Sarah is going to have a child. And the Bible said Abraham left. He left. Why? Because he was 100 years old. And Sarah was 90 years old. And nature itself teaches you that was impossible. Everybody say, keep on preaching. Amen. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight, and I'm not just about to preach yet. Now, how many of you are going to stay with me if I preach to 10 o'clock? Hallelujah. Amen. I've narrowed it down 2 hours. Praise God. Well, God said she's going to have a child. He left. Anyway, he walked into the house. Sarah, honey, come here. Sit down just a minute. Find you a seat that you can have handrails on it so you can hold on real good. I've got some news for you. Sarah sat down beside Abraham, and he said, honey, I know that you love this house, and we got all our furniture paid for. And we've got servants, and we've got sheep, and we've got oxen, we've got camels, and we've got servants, and we're pretty well off right now. But I just talked to God a while ago, and God told me to leave this place. I know you hate to leave mom and all that, but you're going to have to do it. And all you men say, amen. You bunch of henpecked men. Hallelujah. All you men say amen.
Amen.
Thank you. All you ladies say that's right.
That's right.
I just have my faith in God that he knows what he's talking about, so we're just going
to
go. I want you to start packing tonight.
Yes.
Tonight, well, can't we know we're going to get out of here as quick as we can. Get everything together. We're fixing to leave. What are we going to live in? Well, I got an old tent I'm going to buy. We'll just live in a tent a while. Well, maybe she was kind of feeling down now a little bit, so Abraham started getting, wait a minute, I got something else to tell you, Sarah. I want you to really hold on now, because I've got some news to tell you that when I heard it, Sarah, well, let me just tell you about it. Sarah, you know, for a long time, I've always wanted a boy. And Sarah, you know that you always desired to have a child, but your womb was barren. We cannot have children. Well, Sarah, here it is. God said, I didn't say it, Sarah. God said, you're going to have a baby. And it's going to be a boy. And the Bible said, Sarah laughed. I mean, you don't have 2 9 years old. What? That can't be. Nature itself teaches you against that.
Here I am 100 years old. What are people going to think about this?
And knowing women, it got around pretty fast. Abraham, no doubt the next day, made his way down by the old
court square. That
wasn't called, again, court square, you know, courtyard, something. You know, all these old timers get down and whittle the, you know. Abraham made his way down and punched old Bill on the shoulder. Hey, boy, guess what? I'm going to be a pop. Well, Abraham walked on down the road with his head up high, and they looked at one another and said, did you hear what Abraham said? Tell Abraham that age is about to get the best of it. 100 years old thinking he's going to be a pop. I'm telling you, there's something about age. You know, I'm feeling kind of rough myself, but I never dreamed like that. And do you know how old Sarah is? She's 90 years old. They can't have a child. Poor old Abraham. He must be getting close to his grave. His mind is kind of going wishy-washy, and the Lord bless his heart. And all it was all over town. Abraham has gone crazy. Poor old fella, he must be real sick. Everybody start building the casket and making the funeral arrangements. Abraham just about dead. Poor old fella, even having dreamed that he's going to be a dad, and going all over town telling everybody, I'm going to be a dad. They thought that was crazy. You know, I mean, we can laugh about it, but some of us probably thought the same thing. But you know what? I found out how that Abraham believed it, and how that it came about, and how that what he did and the way he looked at it after God really got a hold of it. And it's found in Romans, the 4th chapter. The Bible said, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. That God had already promised Abraham he's going to be a father of many nations. God. And Abraham knew how in the world can this be unless we have a child. Lord, why didn't you pick somebody else? I'm 100 years old. Why don't you pick a young fellow? I like the way God does things.
Amen.
Now listen to this. Not being weak in faith, he considered not his own body.
That's it.
Now dead. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promise of God. I like that. Everybody say that. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was well able to perform it. Now here's the answer. The Bible said Abraham considered not his own body. When he walked down the street and said, I'm going to be a papa, he didn't look at his own body. The men, all they could see was Abraham's age. You're dead, Abraham. Sarah's womb is barren, and she's 90 years old besides that. But Abraham didn't even look at his body. But he said, my God, when he promises something, he's well able to perform it. Oh, Lord, if somehow we could believe the promises of God.
Amen.
This is a very good message as far as healing. Some people, when they're sick, that's all they can see is their sickness. I've seen people come to church.
How you feeling today?
Oh, I'm not feeling too good right now. My back's been hurting me all day long. And I've been in the bed half the day, and I didn't think I was going to make it tonight. And all they can see, well, God's able to heal you. Yeah, I know that, but this is a pretty serious problem. Let me tell you about what God done for my daddy. Healed him of back trouble. Power of God hit him, knocked him flat on his back. Same night I got the Holy Ghost. Well, you know, I'll tell you what, maybe his back wasn't as bad as mine. Some people like to be sick because they get sympathy and attention. Woo! Amen! And all you can see is your sickness. You walk into church and you feel so bad, and all you can see is your body. Well, this week, please listen to this. We walk into church and all we can see is our tired body. We've been working all day long. And oh, I don't know if I can lift my hands above my head now. And if you look at that so long, and if you see your body and that's all you see, that's all you're going to do is sit there. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I went to church some time ago. I was working with my father-in-law in Tupelo, well, back to just a couple weeks ago. First day I worked with him, I got stung by a wasp on my arm, and it swelled up real big. I'm allergic to them. I don't know what I'd do if a snake bites me. I'd die, I guess. I mean, it swelled up, and it was sore. And then the next day I went to work, I still got the mark here where I hit my thumb, and I mean my body ached all over.
Yeah.
You don't believe it'll do it, hit your thumb, and you'll see. And I had to wrap it up and everything. And then the next day, I was at home trying to get somebody to shovel a typewriter. Hit me in the mouth like to cut my lip wide open. Now, Lord have mercy, where do you want me to go? Maybe I ought to get in time blood as quick as I can. Well, I went to church. They were in revival. And that old thumb was a hurt. I mean, it was a hurt. I mean, it was just a problem. And then that was all I was looking at. I mean, I had something to look at. I had a big swollen arm and a thumb that was nearly, I mean, it was rough. I mean, it's about well now, but it was sore. That's all I could see. And I was sitting there, you know, and old Brother Jolly was a singer. You had to know Brother Jolly. He's just like his name. He's Jolly. I mean, friend, when he sings, he's all right. Amen. Jolly's fellow. Hallelujah. And he got to singing. I felt the Holy Ghost. Boy, woo! Man, I'm telling you, that's a good singing. I wanted to clap my hand, but every time I clap my hand, oh, that hurt. I said, devil, you slew-footed outfit, you. I said, you just get out of the way. If it hurts, I'm going to get it. And it hurt. I jumped up and started clapping my hand. Hallelujah. And it started hurting, but I forgot about it. And after a while, I didn't even feel it. Hallelujah. It's whenever you look at him. Get your eyes off of your body and consider him who is invisible. Woo, hallelujah. If you could somehow, those of you that are, and some of you are sick in your body even right now, if somehow you can get your eyes off of that sickness and off of that body of yours and look at the promise of God by his stripes, you're healed. Hallelujah. Amen. And if the sick, any sick of mine, you call for the elder church, anoint them with oil, lay hands on them, pray for them, and they're healed. These signs shall follow them that believe, they shall lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. Oh, if you'll believe it right now, that husband of yours is sitting by you. If he believes, he can reach over and touch it, you'll be healed. Hallelujah. Touch yourself if you believe. Hallelujah. Thank God. Quit considering your own body and start looking at him. If this church ever comes to this revelation that I'm trying to preach tonight, there is nothing that will stop us from seeing great and glorious things in this end time. The early church preached this. They believed it this way. Some time ago, I was in revival. And I was to preach that night. And before he turned it over to me, I had a headache that the worst I'd ever had. And I believe that maybe one time there that I was about to start having migraine headaches, but I believe God healed me of it. And my head was hurting so bad that night, and I was sitting on the platform trying to not show it, you know, not to be a hypocrite, but I mean, you get around some people and they look bad and they talk bad, you get to feel bad. I don't like to be that way. I like everybody to be happy. And my head was a hurt so bad, and the old devil began to talk to me. He'll do it. I mean, he'll even come up on the platform and talk to me. You ever had him talk to me? He said, now, you got a bad headache. Now, these people understand if you won't preach. And they'll understand if you'll just get up and say, well, folks, I don't feel good tonight, and so we're all home. I mean, they'll understand. I mean, you know, they have feelings, and they hurt sometimes. And just get up there and take it easy and just say a few words, and then they'll let them go home. And I began to listen to that. I said, well, you know, maybe they won't. But after a while, I began to realize that wasn't God talking to me. I said, devil, get thee behind me. I resist you now. I said, I'm going to preach. If my head pops, why don't I preach? And I began to preach. And you know, somewhere through that message, my headache went somewhere. I don't know where it went, but it went. Right in the middle of a message, you know what I was preaching? Interrupting the plan of Satan. That was my message that night. Interrupting the plan of Satan. I might ought to preach that one night. Amen. Interrupting the plan of Satan. And the power of God began to move. People started worshiping God, and all of a sudden I felt my headache was gone. And I didn't look for it either. Some people, they get here and say, where'd my headache go? Where'd it go? Amen. When you get rid of it, let it go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God, if somehow we could reconsider that old body and start considering Him who is the healer, who is the deliverer. He's more powerful than anything that's on you tonight. Amen. Abraham considered not his own body, but he considered Him who is invisible. Hallelujah. Can I go one more character tonight? Everybody that's willing for me to do that, would you please raise the hand and wave on it? I don't feel like it's gotten really home yet, so I'm going to have another character. Amen. And when it does hit home, you're going to know it. Amen. Hallelujah. David. Oh, David's one of the greatest characters in the Bible to me. I love to study the life of David. David, just a small boy out tending to his father's sheep. Israel was battling against the Philistines. David's dad called him home one day and said, son, take this to your brother, this food. They're out fighting against the Philistines, and they probably need this. So David, he was just a young boy, you know, and he said, well, this is a great chance for me to go out and see the armies, and maybe I'll get to see the enemy, and this is a great opportunity. But I feel like David felt something inside of telling him, David, there is a cause for you to go there. So David made his way up to where his brothers were. Had that food. He went up there just to whisper. You know where they were? They were behind the rocks.
Yeah.
David,
yeah.
What are you doing? Come here. Get out of here. What are you doing?
Brought you some food.
What are y'all doing behind the rocks, you bunch of chickens? What are you doing? There's something in the house. About that time somebody send a man to fight! And everybody trembled and shook. David stood up and said, shut up, David, you're going to get us all killed.
Yeah.
Well, who is it? Shut up. No doubt they grabbed and sent him down and said, listen, send a man to fight. He kills me, he will be your servant, but if I kill him, you'll be our servants. And they all trembled. And there was Saul standing up against the rock, just a tremble. Everybody there they were with their swords down on the ground. And everybody was just, no doubt they were just standing behind the stone, behind David. Said, what are y'all doing? Why don't you go out there and show him who you are? Big brother, what are you doing down there? Why don't you get out there and show me something? Big brother. That's Goliath, David.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to fight. We're afraid.
Oh.
I'm afraid. Shut up, David. I mean, you're just a little boy, David. I mean, you got big dreams. You know how boys are.
Yeah.
When they're just small. I've got a cousin some time ago. He was out in the backyard, and he had him a stick, you know, and he was going out killing robbers. He was a good Samaritan. At least he had a good Bible story. Well, he was a killing, he was a good Samaritan. Boy, he come back in and I killed them all off, baby. And boy, he was telling me how he cut them up real bad, you know. You know how boys are, they can dream. Now, David, you're just a dream. David, you can't fight against Goliath. I'm bigger than you are, and I'm afraid. Why aren't you afraid? Well, you'll find out. I'll find. And they looked at David, and they looked down the valley and saw Goliath. Said, David, you're a kid. You can't do that, you silly kid. What are you doing? You just want to come see the battle. David said, is there not a cause? Sometimes people that haven't had the Holy Ghost very long will make us plumb ashamed of ourselves and have our lives. Yes, and I'm fighting. I'm not afraid of it. Saul walked up about that time. What do you want, David? I want to fight Goliath. Why aren't you out there, Saul? You're supposed to be our leader. You're supposed to be our king. Why aren't you fighting, David? He's a mighty man of valor. Have you seen Goliath? Yeah, I just saw him a while ago. He didn't look too tough to me. David, now, I know that you got big dreams and all of that. But okay, David, I'll let you go. Well, David's smile broke out on his face. He put on the armor of Saul. It drove the ground. He looked, he must have looked pitiful. I mean, he was probably a little short fellow. Saul was on up there. He looked awful. The armor was dragging the ground. The sword dragging the ground. David, after a while, pulled off. Said, I can't use this. I have to prove this. Please. You going to use David? Well, I'll go to the slingshot. David, go home. You silly little red-haired, freckle-faced kid. Go home. You're going to kill us all. Shut up, big brother. Get behind the stone if you want to. I'm tired of y'all not having faith in my God. Oh, hallelujah. Okay, David, go ahead. The Lord be with you.
Well, here goes David down by the river. Everybody up behind the rock scared to death. All they see was Goliath.
Oh, God.
All they see was God. Picked him out a few stones, you know, just right. Put him in his pocket. When you parents ever had your boy walk in, had a bunch of rocks on the dresser top.
Yeah.
Mary made his way up to out to the bad of Eli. And there we were behind the rocks.
Oh, that's my little brother. I mean, they hit about that. My daddy, that's no help, shit.
Yeah.
Little kid, I was a brother. I mean, he always wanted to be something great.
There he is, just a little shepherd out there.
Look at it. Bless his heart. I wish you'd come back, David. I love you, David. You are always a sweet little brother. Bye-bye, David.
You never stood.
About that time, here comes Goliath.
Amen. I know this is,
Yeah, you're doing good.
I know this is... Well, amen. This is all right. Amen.
Well, there we are. And they stood behind the rocks and said, look! There's Goliath. And there's David. There's Goliath. And there's David. There's his soul. And there's his spear. And there's David's slingshot. Look at it. There's Goliath. And there's David. David, you're going to get killed, boy. Why don't you go home? Why don't you leave the valley and then skip out across the hill and go home? Come on, David. Go. Yeah. And all the time, David looking up there waving at him and saying, hey, brother, what's this? And old David made his way through that while they were saying, there's Goliath and there's David. David was saying, here's God and there's Goliath. Oh! Hallelujah! Oh, yes, sir! All they could see was Goliath and all David could see was God. And when you see God, there is not a problem that's any greater. Hallelujah! look so big and great, but if somehow you can only compare your problem to God, it's not as big as you think it is. It's not as great as you think it is. If somehow you can say Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, if you could just see him that is invisible. I don't care what your giant is. I don't care what your problem is. I don't care what you've been going through. There is nothing that's greater than my God. Somehow you can just see him that is invisible. You've got to see him. You've got to see him. Why could David do what he did? Because David saw God before that day. He felt something come over him and he slew a lion and a bear. Listen to what the psalmist David wrote in the 18th chapter in the second verse. Here's how David saw God. He said, "The Lord is my rock. The Lord is my fortress. The Lord is my deliverer. The Lord is my God. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my buckler. The Lord is the horn of my salvation. The Lord is my high tower. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my salvation." And if you can see Jesus that way, there is not enough of devils in hell to make you backslide. Hallelujah. If you can just see him, if I can get you to see my God tonight. My God is not a puny God. My God is not a God that's afar off, but he's a present God, a very near God. In closing, I want to turn your attention back to the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter. The 11th chapter is filled with people that consider not the things around them. Gideon considered not that he only had 300 men to fight against thousands of Midianites, but he saw God that promised the victory is yours. God has already promised you that you can overcome. God has already promised you can endure to the end, but you've got to see him. Samson, Barak, Jephthah, Samuel, the prophets, all of these the Bible speaks of. And then the 12th verse or the 12th chapter reads like this. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And listen to this. Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and it is set there at the right hand of the throne of God. Now listen to this. For consider him. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. It is very easy to do that. And I feel that in this service, some of you have come to that place to faint in your mind. To come to the place where there seems to be no way out. I might as well throw my hand and quit. It's so hard living for God. If you'll ever get your eyes on Jesus, it's not. But if you look at your problems and everything around you, it'll get hard. But if you can see him, and the writer said, consider him. Look to Jesus. The Greek translation of this, looking unto Jesus, means fastening your eyes on him. Looking steadfast unto him. And when you fasten your eyes on something, friend, there is nothing that can take it off. Have you ever got to looking at something and your eyes are seen just glued to it? And somebody will be doing something over here and you never see it. All you can see is that. Oh, that's what he means. If somehow you can just look to Jesus, if you can forget about those problems you've got for just a while tonight, if somehow you can just kind of move that body aside and look at him who is the healer, the deliverer, the salvation. And if you can see him tonight, some of you walk out of this building tonight changed, different than the way you come in here tonight. Hallelujah. Looking unto Jesus. We must see him who is invisible. I want to show you an illustration for just a minute. I want to say that this is your problems. And this is God. Of course, God is so much bigger than that. Even compared to this. But if you take those problems of yours, and those valleys in your body that's sick, and you can hold it out this far and you can see the Son of God, the closer you get those problems to your eyes, the less of God you're going to see. And then after a while, when those problems get so close, they're going to blind you where you can't even see God. But if somehow you can get God in front of your problems, you can't even see him. But God will be so great until he will hide every problem and every trial that you have tonight. If somehow you can just see him, if I can get you to forget about time for just a minute, and if I can get you to forget about even tomorrow, for we may not even see tomorrow, and if I could get you to look past all the material things and all your problems and all the valleys and all the trials and all the sins, and if I could just somehow get you to open the eyes of faith and to see the angelic being that surround this place tonight, and to see my God in the midst of them that have come to this service tonight and is standing in our midst right now with his hands full of things that you need in this service. If somehow I could get you to see him tonight, you will leave this building changed. Walk out of this building tomorrow. Wake up. Walk out of your home feeling better than you've ever felt in all of your life. But I wonder right now, as we stand to our feet and nobody moving in and out, I feel God is in this building tonight. I feel the Holy Ghost moving up and down these aisles right now. God wants to do something for somebody in this service. I wonder right now, there are those, first of all, that are sick in your body. And the devil has magnified that so much. Until sometime when you come to church, that's all you can see. And the devil has blown it up so great until you cannot really give yourself to God. I wonder, you in this service tonight, if you'll make your way down this aisle looking unto Jesus. By the time you get to this front and the ministry lays hands on you, God will heal you in this service tonight. If somehow you can see him greater than your sickness.
God is already here. Can't you feel his presence? He's already here. All you've got to do